No one has shown more contempt for other nations and for the well-being of their own people than the depraved regime in North Korea. Now North Korea's reckless pursuit of nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles threatens the entire world with unthinkable loss of human life. Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime. The United States has great strength and patience, but if it is forced to defend itself or its allies, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea.
Hold it, man. He's not bluffing.
Listen to him, man. He's just crazy enough to do it.
Number one, time is running out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
It is live in local now all across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It is live and local now. Great communities like Ely and Battle Mountain and Amargosa Valley and Hawthorne and Reno and Sparks and Carson City, all across the Coachella Valley. And, of course, our flagship, Ed Stoll's great radio station, 790 Talk Now, news and talk that rocks. Here in Las Vegas, and it seems like it's been months since I've seen her, but she's back. She is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. Where have you been?
I've been here. I've been there.
No, you've been in Incline Village at your, a palatial estate. I just love that.
I did get up to Incline. Love it
yeah,
up there.
Yeah, you love it up there, don't you?
I do, and I'm going back. I have to do another little retreat. I'm going back in October. For a couple weeks again.
Good for you.
But I'm flying back to fill in for you on Friday,
the 13th.
October 13th.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
I'm getting some dental work done.
Let's see. I flew to California for 4 hours and couldn't wait to get the hell out of there.
I can't say I blame you.
That's where I've been, here and there.
Well, you look like you're ready to get back to work. And
yeah.
Okay, I got to ask. Well, first of all, let's take everybody back to the beginning. This was an amazing rally. I watched it, and it was vintage Donald J. Trump. It was like candidate Donald J. Trump. He worked off the teleprompter for some of it, but a lot of it was off the cuff, including this part.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired! You know, some owner's going to do that. He's going to say, that guy that disrespects our flag, he's fired. And that owner, they don't know it. They don't know it. They're friends of mine, many of them. They don't know it. They'll be the most popular person for a week. They'll be the most popular person in this country, because that's a total disrespect of our heritage. That's a total disrespect of everything that we stand for, okay? Everything that we stand for. And I know we have freedoms, and we have freedom of choice, and many, many different freedoms. But you know what? It's still totally disrespectful. When people like yourselves turn on television and you see those people taking the knee when they're playing our great national anthem, the only thing you could do better is, if you see it, even if it's one player, leave the stadium. I guarantee things will stop. Things will top. Just pick up and leave. Pick up and leave.
What do you think? What do you think? First of all, was he right to bring it up?
He says what his base is thinking. Because when Colin Kaepernick took the knee, over a year ago, and then I had to watch that disrespect and the desecration of our flag, our veterans, our country, I was outraged. And then when I had to watch Beyonce at the Super Bowl do the Black Power salute and give tribute to the Black Panthers, I was outraged. I'm outraged that politics has entered the field, because for one day, just one, Sunday, I want a day without politics, and I want to be entertained. This is a spectator sport. And a majority of those of it used to be called America's favorite pastime, right? They've completely, the progressives have completely ruined another American institution. Where is this going to go?
Let me just stop you there. I'm becoming more and more convinced that the left is hell-bent on destroying every institution.
Yeah.
You know, the Confederacy, the Civil War. Well, it didn't really happen that way. You know, sports.
The family.
The family. All of these institutions that have been the bedrock of our country for centuries. And they want to tear it all down, all in one fell swoop. I mean, do you think this is accidental, or do you think this really is, that this really is the, you know, what they want, that they want to destroy institutions of our society?
Well, absolutely, because they will not be happy until everyone is as equally as miserable as they are. The disrespect that they show our country, they can't just leave the football field out of it. It has to enter the football field. You're going to make a political statement? What's next? Where is this going? At Super Bowl, did you hear? Breaking news. Antifa is going to perform, and Chelsea Manning is going to burn the flag. Isn't that great?
You know, I'm going to take your Twitter account away if you're not careful, if you don't quit tweeting stuff like that, because people are going to believe that. Oh, my God, Antifa!
Yeah. what's Roger Goodell? How's he going to entertain us next? We've already had a tribute to the Black Panthers last year. We've already had now men not even showing up for the national anthem. One Pittsburgh Steeler showed up because he's a vet and he loves this country, as most spectators of football do.
But I do like the idea, and this is what the National Football League should have done. I don't blame the players, because only 150 players took to a knee.
It was 23%.
Yeah, and it's like 1,600 NFL players.
Right.
And so I don't blame the players. The majority, vast majority of the players were on the right side. They were on the side of their fans. I do blame Roger Goodell and these stupid NFL owners for allowing this to happen. The simple solution, I said it back in the Colin Kaepernick era. And then there was a girl named Megan Rapinoe, who is a women's player. And you know how they solved the problem in the women's soccer league, whatever it is, American Women's Soccer League? You know what they did? They kept the players in the locker room. It's the simple solution. NFL knew that. I have a feeling they wanted this. I have a feeling that Roger Goodell wanted this, either for publicity or to suck up to the players' union. I'm not sure. But I can't believe they're that stupid they would let this thing fester and then have the entire focus of week three of the National Football League be about something that happens before the kickoff, not after the kickoff, before the kickoff. This is stupid.
Well, it is stupid. The whole entire spectacle is stupid. And people are turning off the TVs. Again, another dip, a 10% dip in viewership just this for Sunday. What is Monday Night Football going to look like? I'm enjoying watching the ratings fall even faster than the Titanic than I am watching a game. And people are turning it off en masse. The NFL has lost $300 million. $300 million this season.
Wow.
So honestly, you have to ask yourself, where does this end? Where does it go? How far are they going to push the American people away? Because it's hitting their ratings. That means it's hitting their pocketbooks. And they need to clean up the mess that they've created to allow this disrespect, this desecration to our flag, to our country, to our vets, to our anthem. They need to stop it.
Oh, and the next thing. University of North Carolina is not going to go to the White House. Steph Curry reportedly was saying he didn't know if he was going to go to the White House. The president then said, well, you're disinvited. But I am pleased to tell you the Pittsburgh Penguins, National Hockey League, and by the way, just for the record, I don't think I'm going out on a limb saying I'm betting that every member of the Pittsburgh Penguins is white. They're going. They're going to the White House to visit the president.
This is not a white-black issue. Okay, this is an American issue. This is about tradition. This is about honoring the flag. This is not a black, even though the left wants to make this a racial issue because they always see things through.
Because they're
the,
saying it's black oppression, but Black Lives Matter.
That's what they're protesting, right? But what I find really interesting about that argument and about that protest is that they keep electing. You can make change at the ballot box. Take your protest to the ballot box. Take your protest to the streets if you have to. March along with Nation of Islam or Black Lives Matter, whatever you want to do. But when you look at all of the areas that they say are oppressing them, those are the inner cities, Chicago, Baltimore, St. Louis, all run by Democrats and have been run by Democrats for up to 80 years in some of those places. And let's not forget Detroit. We even had black police chiefs that were in charge and a predominantly black force when it came to Freddie Gray in Baltimore. And all of those cops were convicted in the public opinion in Barack Obama's America instead of convicted in court. They were all found not guilty. So this oppression that the blacks keep talking about, yet they keep voting for Democrats who continually keep their cities in the most oppressive, rundown conditions.
So is this what we saw yesterday? 150 players go to a knee out of 1,600. Mm-hmm. Is this about Black Lives Matter? Are you enjoying the real water?
I am. Thank you.
I just love it.
I love it.
Or is this part of the resistance?
Well, I think
or both.
I think it's both. I mean, really, when you look at Black Lives Matter, they are the resistance. And what I find really interesting is that Roger Goodell picks and chooses what he wants to protest, I guess, or what he wants to advertise. Because when five cops in Dallas were assassinated by a Muslim sniper, a Black Lives Matter Muslim sniper, Dallas wanted to have a patch to commemorate a blue line for the lives lost in Dallas. And Goodall wouldn't let him. But God forbid, we have to watch pink. We have to. And that's how I knew that my favorite pastime that I used to watch every Sunday, traditionally with my dad, and when we weren't together, I would call him after the games and we would discuss it. Well, now that's blown. But I knew that the NFL was on a road to nowhere when they started mandating that everybody wear pink throughout the whole month of October. So now I have to be reminded about cancer for the entire month of October. But for one day, Dallas wants to wear a patch to commemorate five cops who were assassinated by a BLM Muslim sniper, and Roger Goodell won't let him.
More from Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. Don't get her ticked off. Really and truly.
Don't mess with my NFL.
Yeah. 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 Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. We'll open up your phone lines to see what's on your mind. 1-844, the number 2 Nevada, 844-263-8232. And again, as much as the players come in for criticism, the vast majority of NFL players weren't in favor of this. They did not go to a knee. I blame this on Roger Goodell and the National Football League. They had a chance to make this a non-issue, and they let this thing blow up, and it was awful. And Megan's right. You know, they've got what I call the apparel Gestapo. They prowl the sidelines looking for somebody whose wristband has something written in ink on it. You know, a loved one that died. You know, RIP, grandpa. And they're just looking to find players that aren't wearing the right socks, the right sideline hat. But you want to go to a knee? I guess free expression ends there. You know, you can go to a knee, you can disrespect the flag, but God forbid you want to honor five fallen cops in Dallas. It makes no sense at all. We'll get to your calls coming up. I'm Kevin Wall. The program, live and local, now.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Across the the state of Nevada in SoCal, too. It's live and local now. Kevin Wall, Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. Let's go to Reverend Joseph. Reverend Joseph, you're up and you're on live and local now. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Kevin. It's a pleasure to speak with you. So I'd like to touch on 2 points, the black oppression and the flag thing. Earlier in your show, you mentioned that there isn't oppression, that there isn't a problem with cops. Let me also first say I am white, and I am pro-police. But I have been there. I've been there. I have seen oppression. I have seen, experienced, prejudiced police officers. They are the few. They are not the many, but they do exist. That cannot be denied.
By the way, there are probably just as many, maybe not as many because there aren't as many cops, but proportionally, I'll bet you there are black cops that are bad too.
Yes, yes, totally. I stand with you on that, shoulder to shoulder with you. Yes. That's just how it is. Now, on the flag, I'd like to make the point that it's not about the current administration. They have a right to protest. Yes, but I think they should protest outside of the field at an event, at their own event. When the flag is going up and when you're doing the anthem, it's about the beginning of the country. It's about the founding of the United States. It's not about the Trump administration or the Obama administration. And that's what's getting confused here. I stand and say, if I don't like who's in office, I still put my hand over my heart and I still salute that flag. Because it's not about that person in office.
Well, Reverend Joseph, I hope you're right. I hope this isn't just another part of the resistance. What do you think?
What do I think about the Reverend?
Reverend Joseph, yeah.
Yeah, I think he has a point. Look, we've all had our run-ins at one point or another with a cop that you didn't like, or a cop that you thought treated unfairly, or looked at you wrong, or whatever. You know. Been there. But keep it, like I said, if you want to protest, keep it off the field. Take it to the ballot box. Take it to the streets.
Call a news conference Monday.
Exactly. If you want to be an agent of change, start changing the inner city. And you don't do that by continually electing the same oppressive democratic regime that has allowed what? How many shootings in Chicago so far this year?
Thousands.
Thousands. How many homicides black on black? You know, I need to go to that next break. There's a great website I go to find those statistics. This is truly the plight of the black family. The cops are not the plight of the black family. The black family has been destroyed over decades, where you have, 70% single mothers?
But are they the victim of white oppression?
Who, football players?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, they make $2 million a year.
Yeah, I'd love to be that oppressed. Can I be oppressed to make $2 million?
More coming up. In her next life, she's coming back an NFL player.
Yep.
And, man, she'll come with an attitude. That's Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. More to come. We'll get to more of your calls coming up. A lot of you want to react to what you saw over the weekend. By the way, I've got a great example. In Independence, Missouri, a peewee football team took to a knee over the weekend. I'll tell you about that live and local now.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Phil Collins, it's no fun being an illegal alien. Yeah, I love that. Love it. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, joining us back from Incline Village. Boy, you love going to Incline, don't you?
I do.
In fact, you own a house there. That's what I think is really cool.
Yeah. Only 8,000 people live in that village.
Is that right?
Yeah. And one of the local gals, remember the miserable cow that threw her drink on me?
Oh, yeah. That got 86'd?
Yeah.
Because of you?
86'd for life.
I love it.
It's the only casino in town.
There is a God.
Of
Even
course.
In Incline Village, there is
a God. Unless you're the godless left.
God, I just love tell you what, let's do. You want to join us, you can. I've got a couple of lines open. You can join us. 1-844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232.
I forgot to tell you.
Yeah.
So I'm driving in, and of course I'm listening to you this morning.
Yep.
And I hear Charlie is more conservative than I am.
I can't believe there is anybody more conservative than you.
I didn't
but
either.
We found him. We
Good.
Found him this morning. Charlie,
Love
if you're
that
out
guy.
There, if you're out there, Megan, so noted.
Yeah.
I just love it. Let me say, where does this thing go? Okay, we did the 150, I don't know what will happen on Monday Night Football, but let's say another 20 decide to take a knee.
Mm-hmm.
Does this thing now go away, or what happens?
Well, at this clip, like I said, Antifa is going to perform at the Super Bowl, and Chelsea Manning's going to burn the flag. I mean, really, is flag burning next? I mean, that's a form of protest.
Well, no, wait. The National Football League is famous.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they may have invented this thing. The deal where a bunch of veterans take a flag and pull it the length of the field.
Yeah.
A field length flag. Is that going to stop?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure we're going to stop the anthem, too. Look, why not? Where does it stop? I keep saying, progressivism is incrementalism. They'll take a little, and they'll just keep going. It's like a piranha eating a corpse, right? Little bites, until they've consumed the whole damn thing.
And what does it mean for outdoor stadiums? Does that mean the flyovers got to go away? Because that's a symbol of military might. And
sure, why not?
Guess we can't do that.
Yeah.
So in other words, just sit down, shut up, and enjoy the game.
Right.
And don't worry about patriotism or anything. We're not going to sell patriotism.
We're not one nation.
Anymore.
We're not one nation.
And
we're
certainly,
not under God.
No.
Oh, hell no.
No.
You know, with liberty and justice for with liberty and social justice for a few.
Wow. That's a pretty grim.
No, this is the equal sharing.
Look into the future.
Good yeah, this
Lord.
Is the equal sharing of misery. Isn't a progressive America just great? Isn't it just so fun being a progressive? They suck the life, they suck the fun, they suck the enjoyment, and they suck the entertainment out of entertainment.
They suck. Oh,
nice.
No, they do. I'm sorry.
Hey,
and by the way,
Bill knows a lot about that, doesn't he?
I
Good old
pin this.
Bill Clinton.
I pin this solely. On the National Football League. This
yep.
this was self-inflicted because this didn't have to happen. And I can tell you, college basketball teams have done this for years where they play the anthem with the players in the locker room. And then they bring the players out, the anthem finishes, and the teams come storming out on the court.
Yeah,
I've seen colleges do that forever.
Yeah. Pretty soon, we're not going to be able to sing the national anthem at high school football games because it's going to offend the illegals.
Well, this is a true story.
You know, this is diversity in the progressive America.
This is a true story. I have an ex-in-law that called me over the weekend, said he was at a peewee. I don't know what that is. That's 10, 12 years old football game. And they played the anthem, and some of the kids went to a knee.
Way to go, parents.
Yeah.
Way to go.
So all these kids
are
going to
do. You got to sow the seeds of disrespect early. Got to start early.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, folks, don't think that this is the end of it. This is just the beginning. Tom, you're up and you're on Live and Local Now. I'm Kevin Wall. That's Megan Barth. Good morning.
Hello, Kevin and Megan.
Hey, Tom.
Listen, as far as this terminology of Antifa, that almost gives it a little bit of credibility when you say it that way. This is the anti-fa-la-la-la group. Okay, anti is the big word there. All right.
Wow.
Now, with regards to these football antiques and all this other carrying on, this stuff finds its roots in the Whitey knee-jerk syndrome. Okay, every time they get together and collide somewhere along the line, white people are knee-jerking, pulling back, you know, whatever, reacting to it. We need to quit that.
Let me ask you, do you think that what we've seen over the last week, certainly this weekend, do you think it is anti-Trump? Is it really anti black oppression? Is it really, or is it resistance? The resistance.
Well, it's anti-Trump, anti-Trump for sure, but it's also anti-white. See, what they're doing is they're imposing their behavior and their will on the white folks that are running the NFL that they seem to be hostile toward, and they want to show their power over them.
Well, you know what it comes down to. And by the way, Tom, thank you for the call. You know what this comes down to? I mean, it's very similar to the players that don't want to go to the White House to visit the president after they win a Super Bowl or a NHL. Mm-hmm. You know, Pittsburgh Penguins, they say fine. Golden State Warriors probably won't be going. And my attitude is, Megan, that hey, if they don't want to, they don't have to. It's a privilege to go to the White House.
Right.
I've never been invited to the White House. They happen to win an NBA championship, and they get invited. They don't want to go. They don't have to go. I feel sorry for like the 12th man or the 13th guy on the roster who would love to go to the White House, has never been to the White House,
right.
who could take selfies with him and the president and send it to his grandma, but won't get to do it because, well, you know, we shouldn't do this. It'll look bad. It'll look bad with the rest of the players.
Yeah, there is no I in team, right?
Guess not. Couple of other things I've got to get in before we let you go.
Mm-hmm.
Senate's going to deal with, maybe vote on by the end of the week, let me get this right, Cassidy,
Graham,
Heller, Johnson bill, the health care bill. Now, obviously, if Dean Heller had wanted to vote for a health care bill, he could have voted for the 2015 bill, which was voted on in 2017. Dean Heller voted no.
He should have just voted for Obamacare.
Well,
really, because that's exactly the expanded Medicaid is all that Obamacare gave people. It only expanded an existing program. But yet they spent $2 billion on a website. They hired 16,000 IRS agents. 10 million people got kicked off their insurance. Progress. Isn't that progress? So Heller is going to try to save Medicaid with this Graham, Cassidy, Johnson, McCain,
blah, 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 whatever. But McCain won't
even vote for it because he wants to have a discussion in Congress. Well, I don't remember all those discussions in Congress when Obamacare was rammed down the throats. There wasn't a single Republican vote. They tried to do the Slaughter Amendment. They tried to do the Cornhusker kickback, the Louisiana Purchase. They were wheeling and dealing. And I don't remember any debates over how the free market actually would be a better solution to the government takeover of 1/6 of the economy. But you know what? Let's double down on stupid. Let's make sure we just have single payer because more government is really going to straighten it all out.
I want to ask you on another subject.
Mm-hmm.
And those of you that over the last couple of days have been listening to the program and you've heard the latest edition of Nevada Voices, for those of you that don't know what Nevada Voices is, this program is the only statewide program that provides a platform for people all across the state from all walks of life. We've had small business people. We've had politicians. We've had wannabe politicians. We've had all kinds of people that have done what we call Nevada Voices. You fit into none of those categories. You're just a really smart lady. But you do Nevada Voices. You did what I think is your best Nevada Voices. It involves this, what we now are learning, might be a 70 or 80. You know, originally they said, 50, 60 million. Now they're saying it might be a $70 or $80 million budget shortfall for the fifth largest school district in the nation, the Clark County School District. Now we've got the governor, Sandoval, is, quote, puzzled.
Oh, really? Puzzled.
He's puzzled.
Well,
by
maybe
it.
He could listen to my Nevada Voices and figure it out. $1.1 billion in new taxes, the largest tax increase in state history, was passed to save the schools K through 12. We're already at a budget shortfall of $80 million in Clark County. Where'd all the money go? Geez, maybe it went to English language learners, $600 million a year. We spend on English language learners in this state because we have 210,000 illegal aliens and their children. And so when no one's speaking English and we're not prepared to take in this many amount of illegal immigrants into our school district and teach them English, we have fourth graders are only at, 8% reading proficiency?
And then when they get to eighth grade, they go all the way to 5%. And English language learners who are seniors only have a 20% graduation rate. We spend $600 million on English language learners, and they have a 20% graduation rate.
And the governor's puzzled.
Puzzled.
I mean, that's what's so amazing about this governor. That this governor is puzzled by this.
Oh, and
he's one of the causes of this.
Yeah, and they get free pre-kindergarten. Yes, and they get free kindergarten, and then they get longer hours during the day, and they get extra resources for that $600 million. And
but
he has
no
idea.
No, but we got Zoom schools and we got victory schools.
20% graduation rates.
But we've got Zoom schools. We got victory schools.
They're zooming to illiteracy.
Oh, come on, Megan.
They're zooming to dropout.
Anyway, so he's puzzled by this shortfall.
Can we send him my Nevada voices?
Let's do.
Okay.
Let's
we could tweet it to him or something?
No, let's do.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and maybe he won't be as puzzled. But by the way,
why do politicians have such a hard time just following the money? Like, I found this, okay? I mean, it took me, a couple days. I was doing some research. I'll be writing about it today on ReaganBabe.com because I found a few more things.
Oh,
do you realize that in Nashville, 82 different languages are spoken in the school district? 82. With Arabic being the second largest.
Wow.
This is progress. This is open borders. See, isn't it great? Everyone speaks different languages and no one knows what the hell is going on or what anyone's saying. Isn't that great? Mass confusion, massive waste of money with a 20% graduation rate, and we're on the hook. $1.1 billion, and they don't have any money left.
And so what's the answer? The answer is more money for schools. So what did we do? We did recreational marijuana. And everybody said it's all for the kids. What?
Where's all that money? I thought all that tax money was supposed to go
well,
to education.
Now this is one excuse I heard from somebody inside the school district that they apparently thought they were going to get a bunch of money from that.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out they're not going to get as much money as they thought. $80 million worth? I mean, I keep going, what?
We had a state of emergency because we ran out of pot. I mean, I've never heard of such a thing. It's obviously flying off the shelves. There are obviously some tax revenue somewhere. I'm sure they can scrape up $80 million. They couldn't for ESAs. They couldn't find the $80 million for ESAs, though.
Let's go to Tony. Tony, you're up and you're on Live and Local Now. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kevin. I would like to say, because my girl, she's a teacher, and when they talk about the blacks being oppressed, I can tell you the story she tells me, but most of them are, the black kids are always very disruptive. They won't stay in their seats. They talk, they yap, they don't pay attention. And then going to the Hispanics, she goes, most of them are quiet, but that's because they don't speak English. They don't understand. It's hard to give them a grade. But only, and Megan, just so you know, I listen to you all the time, and all us Democrats are a bunch of yahoos. And Kevin will know me by I'm a blue dot Democrat. I had to change everything up. But I'm going to tell you, it's kind of like being an American thrown into a French school. You're not going to learn anything because you don't know the language. So, I kind of agree that, if they're legal here and they don't know the language, we should help them. I don't have a problem with that. But when you've got all these kids that either disrupted the class and they don't care, they cry about Black Lives Matter, and they don't do what the teachers tell them, you can't say that these people are oppressed when they're basically oppressing themselves. And then I was also saying, as far as the football players, because I know that's huge, is if they're so oppressed, why aren't they going to city meetings, state meetings? Why aren't they getting involved in that, trying to change laws, trying to change minds? But they don't. They take a knee. They're disrespectful. And most people I know are the same. They're going to burn their stuff, and they're not watching the games because I'm in the same boat, too. I do the same. I don't watch the games, and I've got stuff to burn today to put on video because that's just the way it rolls.
Tony, those are all great points. And I said that about the Black Lives Matter activists that we're now finding on the football field. If you want to create change, if you want to be the agent of change, get involved in the community, take care of the inner cities. Be fatherly examples to those kids who don't have fathers. And 70% of kids in the inner city are without fathers. That's really kind of where a lot of this starts. It starts early. You don't train your kids or teach your kids to disrespect this country at such a young age, like Kevin's cousin just witnessed on the Pee Wee playfield. You don't disrespect our country on the football field. If you want to disrespect our country, do it on your own time, do it on your own dime. A lot of taxpayer dollars goes into those stadiums. There are 10 stadiums, known stadiums, that are heavily funded by the federal government through subsidies. You know what? Maybe we should rip away the subsidies from the NFL. If they want to become social justice warriors instead of entertainers and athletes and performers, then let them sink or swim on their own.
And by the way, a lot of these stadiums are financed by the general public.
That's right. Well, look at what we got now. We got the Thug Raiders coming here.
Wow.
Can't wait for that.
I know you're fired up, and I know we're going to let you go into our little decompression room. It's kind of a safe room with Play-Doh and coloring books and things like that. So we'll let you go there for a while.
Is that the conservative safe space?
Yes, it is.
It is. Conservatives don't have safe spaces.
We don't get to have
them. No, we don't get to have any from the progressives. Everything's in our face. Their misery is in our face. Their joylessness in our face every day. I want a safe space.
There you go. Megan Barth, thank you so much. We'll see you next Monday.
If
folks want to find, you're writing a new piece.
I am.
Am I right?
It's going to be on the education. And it's going to be on education specifically in Nevada because it is such a good model for what is exactly wrong in many states and many districts across the country. People keep bringing, what state and what city never has an education budget problem? It's chronic. It's always a problem. They're always raising taxes, raising property taxes, sugar taxes, marijuana tax, always for the children. It never goes to the citizens.
You're fired up today.
Oh, yes, I am. They mess with my NFL.
And again, if folks want to reach out to you, where do they go?
ReaganBabe.com, ReaganBabe on Twitter, and ReaganBabe on Facebook.
That's Megan Barth, ReaganBabe. You're going to hear Megan in just a couple of minutes with her brand new Nevada Voices. That's all next. Live and local. It is what you've been waiting for all morning long.
It's time for Nevada Voices.
This is Megan Barth with ReaganBabe.com. In case you missed it, Nevada schools are facing yet another budget crisis. Schools are facing budget cuts upwards towards $80 million. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Governor Sandoval and the Nevada legislature pass a billion-dollar tax increase, the largest in Nevada state history, to boost K-12 spending? So where did all the money go? Let's review some numbers. According to Pew Research, 1 in 5 Nevadans was born outside this country. Nevada has 210,000 illegal aliens. This is a 60% increase in 17 short years. 20% of Clark County School District students are classified as ELL, English Language Learners. And it is estimated that Nevada citizens pay $600 million a year to educate these students. Now, a sizable chunk of this $1 billion went to Zoom schools, where a majority of students are English language learners. In other words, illegal aliens who are provided with fully subsidized pre-kindergarten, full-day kindergarten, longer instruction days, and additional resources to quickly build English proficiency. So how's that working out? The fact is, and the numbers prove, that the Clark County School District and other districts were never prepared to properly teach so many students who aren't proficient in English. Abysmal ELL student performance drags overall state achievement into the national basement. According to the U.S. Department of Education, last year just 13% of Nevada's ELL fourth graders were proficient in math. 8% were proficient in reading. Amongst eighth graders, 5% were proficient in math. 3% were proficient in reading. The high school graduation rate for ELL students is only 20%. Their dropout rate is beyond tragic. What a bang for that $1 billion, huh? So the next time the Democrats and moderate Republicans want to raise your taxes to save the children, please keep these numbers in mind and remember that a majority of these children and their parents have no lawful right to be here.
Oh, my God. Thanks, Megan. That's going to do it for today. We'll tee it up again tomorrow. Live and local now.